Welcome back to the Galveston Experience Podcast. We're up to episode number 107, the Galveston Experience Podcast, produced in the studios of RadioGalveston.com at 15th and Seawall. And we're going to be talking football this time around, the scuttlebutt with Mike Dudas and the new head coach of Ball High School coming to Galveston from North Shore, Sheldon Benight. We'll talk to him in a second. Galveston Experience Podcast is sponsored by the Galveston Digital Island Guide. Everything you could possibly want to know about Galveston, including free tours. There's several free tours on the app, all kinds of free stuff to do, family-friendly places to eat, drink, things to do, haunted Galveston Island resources, places to stay, and so much more. Really putting the best of the island at your fingertips on the app. You can download it from the Google or the Apple Store, or find the link to the Island Guide on the website for RadioGalveston.com. So being a new head football coach is always a challenge, even more of a challenge when as soon as you walk in the door, you're faced with a pandemic. So let's meet Ball High School's new football coach.
I am Mike Dudas, and my guest on this edition of the podcast is head coach Sheldon Benight, who is going to give us all the scuttlebutt on the Ball High Tornado football program. Coach, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Just take a little journey back in time. Starting back at spring break, when we told the kids, have a nice spring break and we'll see you in a week. Talk about your journey, what happened shortly after that.
Well, you know, I was just taking back a step further. I was in and out for about a month and, you know, every other day type of thing. And I got to see the kids a little bit, but the kids were in other sports, basketball and whatnot. I didn't have an opportunity to see them a whole lot. And then officially I was at Ball for a week. And then, bam, COVID hit, you know. So that was a shock. And then trying to do some of the most difficult part was trying to stay in contact with the kids when I didn't actually have any contact information on them, you know. And I did my best to reach each kid and try not to let any kids fall through the cracks during that entire spring. So that was a real difficult part. But I knew right away that I, you know, from actually coaching against Ball to seeing the kind of talent, kind of kids they had, I always thought it would be a gold mine to be here. And so having said that and just being here for those several weeks, understanding the type of kids that, you know, that we have here is just it was a blessing for me, you know. And one of the main things I tell people, coaches will understand, is if you've ever been a new coach or new staff coming into a school to change a program, turn a program around, and most of the pushback you're going to get is from seniors. I really didn't get that here. I think they were hungry for change and hungry to win. And, you know, even if they didn't understand how to win, they were willing to accept the things that I'd asked them to do. And that's been – so these seniors are key part to this turnaround this year, you know, that we're trying to establish. And, you know, I'm really proud of them and I appreciate them.
How do you contact kids that you don't even really even know and they don't even know you? So you said, you know, you started and there for a week or so and then the pandemic happened. How did you fulfill that role where you're stepping in and you're calling on the phone, trying to get a hold of kids and getting that buy-in from the kids that, you know, they didn't even know who you were.
Right. Well, I actually got a few phone numbers. You know, the recruiters were coming around and asking me about these kids. And I said, well, I think it's this kid over here, you know, and go out and find out. And, you know, of course, I'd watch a little video. But I got these kids' numbers, several of them. And they had numbers of kids. And I was able to just, you know, just kind of through the grapevine type of deal, acquire some of these kids' numbers. And then there's this app that the THSCA, Texas High School Coaches Association, put out. And I believe it was them and the UIL kind of did some things to help us out to set up this app that allowed you to talk to your kids. And I created some workouts and sent them some workouts to do on their own. And they videoed some of the workouts and they were posting them online and try to keep them active and, you know, give them things to do during the pandemic that's, you know, they can do by themselves and safe, and a lot of body weight stuff that, you know, because they didn't have the facilities or their equipment to do some of the stuff we were doing at school. And they really bought into it, you know. So, you know, that was difficult. That took a while, you know, especially since we didn't know how long we were going to be out for a while, you know, several weeks. It was like, well, it's a week, now it's 2 weeks, now it's, you know, who knows how long it's going to be. So we were kind of scrambling there for a minute and for a little bit. But the kids really helped me out as, you know, as far as those contacts are concerned, you know, and it was just kind of a whirlwind.
Were you ever fearful that there was not going to be a football season at all?
That thought came around a little bit, but I think because Coach Fortune, myself, and, you know, Doc Sundry, our trainer, and Heather Greer, the assistant trainer, we spent so much time trying to put in some regulations for COVID and just the steps and the processes trying to figure out how to make things work. You didn't have a whole lot of time to think about there not being a season. But yeah, that was in the back of my mind. You know, as we would talk about it, you know, here and there, that kind of thought was just disheartening. You know, I was afraid of that, but I've developed some patience over the years, and of course, nothing like this. I've never gone through anything like this before, but thank goodness I developed some patience, because I would have gone crazy if I kept thinking about that type of thing. So I just try to keep my head down and control what I could control, and not, you know, that something like that just so out of your control, it makes you crazy trying to deal with something that you can't really deal with. So I spend more time just trying to work and try to stay busy and do everything I could, you know, just leading up to this point. Trying to get it set up. So
walk us through some of the precautions you've had to put in place.
Some of the main thing that the UIL sent down regulations, you know, once it started with, of course, at the national level and the state level, and the doctors and everybody said, and now it's kind of a second nature. Everybody, you walk in, you have all these protocols you have to follow. We had to figure out how to get these kids entered into the building. They have to take their temperature, and they have to fill out a questionnaire every single day, which we do online, record it, and then we have to have a paper copy in case they don't have, you know, their cell phones, et cetera. So we have trainers set up every single day. We've done it every day since June, since we started. We're still doing it. We take their temperature, and we record all this information. They get a mask. Get masks for each kid, and we wash them every day, and they turn them in, we give them one when they show up, and then, you know, when we go into the weight room, we can only get so many in there at one time, and if you have to wipe down bars, and you have to, so we came up with this plan, Coach Fortune came up with that plan to get some gloves and some spray and some, you know, we just took every precaution we could so that, you know, some of that contact didn't pass from person to person. And then some of the other steps, when you go into the locker room, when football actually started, we got back in the locker rooms, we could go in groups. We can't go 100% at one time. So it's really kind of a headache. It adds so much more time to your day. You know, you're talking about 120, 140 kids trying to check one time, and then can only dress part of them at one time. It's second nature now, but it really adds time to your day. And then, you know, we had to figure out volleyball and some other, you know, all the indoor sports. And these regulations, the thing that it was regulations and that they were laying out for us, they changed. As we would make a plan, they would change. And we'd make a plan, they would change again. So, you know, of course, that was just due to the information that they were getting from doctors and, you know, safety protocols and all that. So it was really a kind of a nightmarish type of thing. So we were really, really busy over the course of, you know, the spring and the summer trying to get all this set up.
One thing that's really been heartwarming to me by watching the kids is how cooperative they've been through this whole process.
You know, they really have. I expected a lot of pushback, and they jumped in, and you know, you have to, you know, one of the things, the strange parts is the school buses are air conditioned, but we have to keep the windows down when we travel, so the air conditioners don't do any good. Well, we have to keep our mask up the entire time and the windows down, and it's just, you know, when you go to a game, we spend eight or ten hours with our mask on and never comes off, you know. And these kids, they've just fell right in line. They really were. They really accepted it, because I think they, you know, that from the time off, not having a spring ball, spring practice, and then just missing the sport so much, we just tried to lay it out to them and said, look, this is your only opportunity. You screw it up, it's the only one you're going to get, you know. And they really just, they clung on to that. And so I'm really, really grateful for that, for those kids. They're a good group. They've done a good job of that.
How do you transport the kids to games? Do you use additional buses now? How do you adjust to the social distancing requirements?
Well, we take, on varsity, we have an offensive and defensive bus. And at first, the school board passed has allowed us to travel because of the windows down and the mask up and all that. They've allowed us to sit two to a seat. So we really don't have to take additional buses because of our numbers. Now, the bad part about all this is our numbers are down because of this online learning, and so many kids are not on campus that our numbers are just not where I would hope they would be. But it's encouraging to hear the kids. Some of the kids are coming up and saying, "Coach, I want to play next year when we get back," and stuff. So, you know, it's we really haven't had to take more buses. I was afraid we were going to have to, but we've been very fortunate in that way. Our school board has blessed us with allowing us to do that.
Under quote unquote normal circumstances, walk us through, how does a new head coach come into the program and evaluate it?
Well, normally what I would do, it would be come in and just watch the coaches work, watch the kids work, and just see, kind of get my eye and see where I thought we stood, you know, just see, not necessarily talent level, but my thing was see the work ethic, see the eagerness to do, you know, do what's right, the discipline that is or isn't there, and just those intangible things. It's not really I wasn't really worried about talent level. I just, you know, and that would have been a normal year. Well, there was a lot of coaches that had left to go up and to go elsewhere at other schools, so I was having to do a lot of the work myself, so I didn't really get a chance to spent a lot of time evaluating. So I just jumped in, and there were so many things, so many questions that really went on. So what I did was I said, well, this is one thing I know I can do, and one thing I really love, and I said, I'm just going to worry about the kids. You know, I'll worry about the rest later. So I just jumped in with both feet, and we went to work. But normally that's what you would do, or I would evaluate and, you know, then coach, you know, kind of coach the kids, coach the coaches, lay out some expectations, you know, which I was kind of doing gradually. But once you lay out that expectation level and explain, you know, the kids and the coaches, hold your feet to the fire, you know, we've got to raise our expectation level, raise our effort level, raise everything that we do has to increase. And, you know, that under a year. But a lot of that stuff didn't get to happen, so I've had to change my path a little bit as far as not my expectation level, but my understanding of what the kids did and did not get from me. So, you know, I'm not going to hold it against the kids if I didn't have an opportunity to teach them. If they don't know, then I can't get mad at them. I can't punish them, or I can't, but I can reward them when they do things right that I didn't teach them. So that's, you know, it's more of a positive way of doing things. And I think because of that positivity, the kids really responded to it. And I just kind of adjusted on the fly. And I really tried to focus on, you know, more the teaching aspect and teaching why. I don't think these kids have ever learned anything about why we do things, or, you know, because I'm a firm believer, if you teach the kids why, then they can react and they can make decisions for themselves. You know, let's be honest, that's get these kids to do is be, you know, productive citizens and be able to be productive in college or in life or whatever they decide to do after high school. So you got to be able to make good decisions. So you teach them why, let them make their own decisions, and then you just kind of teach you go from there.
In the about 30 seconds we have left, can you give me a quick answer? What is your philosophy on stressing academics?
Oh, we have a tutorial session every Friday. My philosophy is I don't expect the teacher to give you anything. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you. You're going to earn everything you get in this life. You're going to earn everything in the classroom, on the field. You're going to have to work for it, and that's my expectation level of you. If not, then the punishment is you don't get to play, and that's just the rule. So I've laid that out to the kids, and I think this 6 weeks has kind of been a shock to them, but, you know, they're starting to come around. They start to see it. So they've got to earn everything they get in this life, so we're going to treat it that way.
My guest on this edition of the podcast has been head coach Sheldon Benight from the Ball High Tornado football program. If you'd like to be a guest on a future podcast and give us all the scuttlebutt on your business or organization, drop us a line right here at RadioGalveston.com.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Coach Benight. Welcome to Galveston, and welcome to Ball High, and all the best for a great first football season. Even through all these challenges, sounds like you've got a plan, and the kids are really on board with it. So, did we dodge a bullet or what with Hurricane Delta in Galveston? We had one day of tropical storm winds and rain, and then a beautiful weekend. And if you're a seashell hunter, you got to get to Galveston if you're not already down here. If you go to Facebook and go to the Galveston Experience page, we posted a picture that somebody shared with us of a beach. There are so many shells, you almost can't see the sand. And there are a lot of beaches like that. And that's what happens after a storm. It kicks up all of those shells. And then we had that gradually lowering tide as the storm kind of descended. And it is great weather, great seashell hunting. And if you come to Galveston, be sure and download from the Google or the Apple Store the Galveston Digital Guide, or you'll also find it linked right up at the top of our website here at RadioGalveston.com. So, thanks for joining us. If you know somebody who'd be a good guest in the future edition of the Scuttlebutt, get in touch with us, and hopefully we'll see you for our new hurricane tour. Hurricane is the big topic now. We get a new hurricane tour every day at the Galveston Experience Company. Goes along with our historic and ghost bus tours. Or if you've got a group of eight or more, we can kind of do a little custom build your own tour and give you a little kind of best of all the tours if you'd like. So hopefully we'll see you down at the Galveston Experience Company, 15th and Seawall, picking up seashells on the seashore. Or if nothing else, we'll look for you right here next time at the Galveston Experience Podcast.